morning, Proverbs chapter 30, lessons from bugs and the bunny. And a bunny. Bugs Bunny. Right? He can teach us a lot of wisdom. You know, I enjoyed the singing, and I always laugh when I look down and see my kids. They're just as different as night and day, you know? And Seth and I are a lot alike. We're different as night and later that night, but not much difference, right? And so Bez is, always wants to do things properly and with skill, and he doesn't like being in front of people and stuff. And Seth, what he lacks in skill, he makes up for in excitement. And that's how I am. I can't sing, but I can yell and be excited. And so that's why the Independent Baptist Church was a good place for me to be. You don't have to know anything. You just have to scream. And I said, I can do that. I can do that. All right. Proverbs chapter 30. Well, we have some special guests with us this morning. We have Christopher's dad, Bill Henderson, here this morning. And it's been a long time. He grew up in this church as a kid, came as a child, used to sing in the choir, and it's such a blessing to have him this morning. His son's a real blessing to us. We have my friend Sam. Sam's here this morning. I met him at the international market and was about to start witnessing to him, and he told me he was a Christian. Just because he shopped there doesn't mean he was a Muslim, so praise the Lord. Good to have him with us this morning. But I'm really excited to see you. Looking forward to what the Lord does. Proverbs chapter 30. Well, I guess I should be in Proverbs. I'm in Job. That is not going to work out. Proverbs 30. And, you know, I love the book of Proverbs. And I want you to take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 30, and he starts over here in about, starts in verse 15 in here, and he starts talking about these groups of things, you know? And there's so much wisdom in these groups of things. For example, here's a verse 15. He says, the horse leech has two daughters that are crying, give, give. There's things that are never satisfied. Look at verse 16. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water. In verse 17, the eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother. Do you know what that means? That if your child won't obey you, you cannot make him happy by giving him things. Give, give. No. Right? But it's just so full of wisdom. Look down here in we're gonna go down here to verse 24, and this is where we're gonna preach. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. They're not just a little wise; they're exceeding wise. They're exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong. Now, I don't care what they say, they're not strong. I never asked an ant to help me move. They're exceeding wise. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rock. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now keep your hand there and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And I love the book of Proverbs because it's wisdom. And I love wisdom. God gave different people spiritual gifts. One of the gifts he gave me was, I believe, wisdom. And, you know, I love Proverbs because it's choke full of wisdom. And I want to give people wisdom. It was written to give people wisdom. What is wisdom? You know, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And until you understand that God is in charge, you're never going to get wisdom. Until you understand authority and God's in charge, you're not going to get wisdom. Knowledge is the facts. Wisdom is the how, and understanding is the why. I need to change my oil. That's the facts. I know how to change my oil. That's wisdom. And understanding is, if I don't change my oil, the car's going to blow up, right? But they all are kind of the same thing, and they all work together. And wisdom is personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom is the words of God practically applied to your life. I believe that is what it is. It's taking a truth in this Bible, applying it to your life in a practical way that it changes your life, it changes your direction, it changes how you think, it changes how you do things. That's what wisdom is. And too many of our churches, we have knowledge, but no wisdom. We know facts, but it doesn't change our life. And that's why I like Proverbs. It helps me on a day-to-day level. It helps me practically. Every day of my life, I get to make wise decisions because of what's written in Proverbs. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's earthly wisdom, which is sensual and devilish and descendeth not from above. And there's that which is pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. And that's from above, from the Lord. Now, wisdom is a lot like common sense. It's great because it's practical. Look at what wisdom will do for you. Proverbs chapter 4. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Now, who doesn't want to be preserved? Who doesn't want to be preserved at their job? Right? You know, people get fired all the time. You need to read Proverbs and apply it to your life, and it'll preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Doesn't that just make you want to shout? It's the principal thing. It's get this. This is what's important. That's why it was written. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Put all your... get it. Exalt her. Wisdom. How do you exalt her? Hey, let me tell you what I learned in the Bible. You should receive Christ as your Savior. You preach about it. You teach about it. You say, kids, let me teach you what the Bible says about this. No, don't do that to your brother. Here's what it says in Proverbs. This is why you need to work hard. This is why you... Listen, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. You want a promotion at work? Exalt wisdom. That's not just preaching to people. That's taking biblical principles and helping people apply them. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. So-and-so is such a blessing. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. That person has it figured out. I need to talk to them. I think they can help me. What is that? That's wisdom. He says, verse 13, take hold of instruction, let her not go, for she is thy life. You know what? Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and then we'll go right back here. You know what will make your kids successful in life? A degree? No. Wisdom. Now, wisdom might lead them to get a degree. You're going to have to work in life. You might as well make money when you do it, right? I mean, you got to work. And wisdom understands that. If they get wisdom and they learn how to think, you know what will help them be healthy and happy and not broke? Wisdom. You want them to have wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. You know what I want for my children? You know what I want for the church members? You know what I want for myself, my wife, everyone I will meet? I want them to be happy. There's nothing better than being happy, is there? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Here's one of my favorite verses about wisdom. Look at this. Length of days is in her right hand. And in her left hand are what? And you know what everyone's doing? They're chasing length of days, and they're chasing riches and honor. But if they would just get wisdom, that's a side effect of it. And it has so many other side effects. Get wisdom. Learn it. And I just love it. It's my favorite topic and favorite subject in the Bible. You know what the best part about wisdom is? It's free. Nobody's competing you for it. Those that have it want to share it. When you use it, it increases. When you don't use it, it's diminished. It. If you spread it around, it'll grow. And if you don't spread it around, you'll forget it. Buy it and sell it not. Whatever you do, get it. And I love it. It's personified in Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to get some wisdom today? Back to Proverbs 30. The Bible says in Job chapter 7, ask the beasts, and they shall teach thee. And it's all in this passage. There are some bugs and one small animal that people call a rock rabbit sometimes. There's some bugs and a bunny that can teach us a whole lot of wisdom. You know what about these bugs? They're smarter than most humans on the planet. You know, the first time I read this, I thought, wow, I'm dumber than most bugs. I said, why don't you go see so-and-so? They'll teach you something. Oh, I'm not going to go see them. They're an idiot. Okay, well, maybe you can learn from a bug then. You know what is a? They talk about medicine that's like a beta blocker. You know what a wisdom blocker is? Pride. You know people that can't know wisdom and learn wisdom? Here, and I hope this really knocks you off your feet. If you think you're smart, you can't get wisdom. You can't get wisdom. Oh, think about that for a while. If you think you're smart, you can't get wisdom. If you have a desire for other people to know how much you know, you can't get wisdom. You can't get it. A wise man can learn more from a foolish question than a fool can from the answer. And if you think you're smart and you don't think you need to grow, listen, you know how you get rid of most problems? You get wisdom and grow through them. The child has a problem. He can't get on the coffee table. You know how it's solved? It's solved by growth. I talk to preachers all the time and they say, I said, I'm having this problem. They're like, yeah, the only way you're going to solve that problem is when you grow as a church, when you grow as a pastor. You have problems at work. You have problems in your family life. You have problems. The only way you're going to solve them is when you grow, and you'll grow through them. But you know why you don't grow? Because you don't think you need to grow. So the Lord says, hey, I'm going to bring some bugs here, and they're going to teach you something this morning. So the bugs are going to teach class to people that are willing to go. Man can learn from creatures that are beneath him unless he's prideful. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. All you need to know about happiness, all you need to know about success, all you need for life and death and eternity are taught by these four animals. They're not just wise, they're exceeding wise. And anyone here can do it. Anybody. If an ant can do it, you can do it. If a coney can do it, you can do it. If a grasshopper or a locust can do it, you can do it. If a spider can do it, you can do it. So there's no excuses. And I want to see what God wants us to get from these four creatures. Number one, the ants. You know what they are? And this is very simple. A prepared people. Look what he says there in verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. they're not strong, but they do not let their limitation of strength stop them from being industrious. You know what we used to say? Make hay while the sun shines. You know, I'll never forget, there was a young man, and Sister Ruth and I were talking about this one day, and he's like, "Oh, it's just so hard. I have so much to do." And he was just whining and crying about all this, about how much he had to do. And she said, "Look, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth." Right? While you're young, while you got good, strong shoulders, you know what you do? While it's summer, you prepare. The ants are a prepared people. Make hay while the sun shines. I grew up in Amish country, and in those days, and they still do, they grow most of their own food. And everything that they consume and eat is either from food that they've grown or things that they've grown and sold and then bought other things with that they couldn't grow. So they ate, they made their living off of growing things. And you know when they grow things? They grew them in the summer. And I used to, listen, summer is the worst time to work. You know why? It's hot. The creek is warm. Summer is the best time to play and the worst time to work. That's just the way it is. And I was at a great disadvantage because all my friends that I grew up with were Amish people, and they all lived on these big farms and they all had to work. And so I had this bright idea. I said, "Look, if I help them finish their work early, they can go swimming with me." And I would go there and I would work as hard as I could. And 12 hours would go by. I'm like, "Great, now we can finally make it to the creek." And they're like, "Oh no, we have more work." And I'm not kidding. From sunup, from early in the morning, they'd get up, 4:30, they'd milk the cows, they'd feed the chickens, they'd feed the animals, they'd gather the eggs, they'd go in for breakfast, and then they'd go out in the field all the way till dark. And when it got dark, they had to milk the cows again and feed. And man, it was so much work. And one time we were planting squash in this one field, and we had to go plant squash in another field. And when we were going to the other field, we had to go across the creek. So I asked the dad, I said, "If we get done planting this squash really quick, on the way to the other field to plant more squash, can we stop and swim in the creek?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't think it's possible to get this squash planted in time. We got to plant it all today." "We can do that, but I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen." So I said, "Oh, great, I know a good way to get this squash planted." So they dug the furrows and all this stuff, and we had to walk, and every 3 foot we had to put 3 squash seeds in. And this field was mile long, and you go through 3 squash seeds, 3 squash seeds. But if you ran out of seeds, you could stop planting. So I dug this furrow, and then I got this whole big can of squash seeds. I can see it right now. It had pink, the treatment on the seeds. And I walked, and nobody was looking, and I dumped the whole thing in a furrow. I guess we'll have to go swimming because there's no more squash seed. I could swear they gave me enough squash. Oh, they didn't swear. They were Amish people. Swear not at all, neither by heaven. Okay, but I could promise you they gave me enough squash seeds. And so put them all in the ground, and 2 weeks later, we went out to check on the field. And all of a sudden, there's all these squash plants that came up. And he said, "Listen, come here." He said, "You can't come around here anymore. You can't hang around my boys anymore, because if they pick up your habits, they're going to starve." He said, "We have to grow these squash and sell them to get flour and other things to make it through the winter. And you are a bad influence, and you cannot hang around my boys because I cannot have them picking up these habits. You have to prepare." And they said, "Beware of winter before it comes." And I see this attitude prevalent among people today in the physical world as well as the spiritual world. People are not preparing for the future. I know so many people that are my age. They work hard. They make good money, and they own nothing. They don't own their vehicle. They don't own their house. They have no money in their retirement account or anything like that. And you know what? They have made, in many cases, more money than I've ever made. And you know what they did? They consumed it all. They ate it all. He's still making payments on his truck. And I asked this man, he's not even from this country, and I said, what are you going to do when you get old? I mean, every 2 weeks, every week, you have to go to the buy here, pay here, and make your weekly payment on your truck just to keep it going. What are you going to do when you get old? And you know what he said? I don't think about that. I don't think about it. People in their 30s and making payments, they don't owe anything. What are you going to do? I told Michelle the other day, I said, you know, I pastor a bunch of people like this. I said, what's it going to be like when I'm trying to pastor them in 30 years when they can't work anymore and they can't make their payments anymore? That's going to be a terrible bunch of people to try to pastor, and it's going to be so heartbreaking. So what do? So we have Financial Peace University. We're going to teach people how to manage their money so they can prepare for the future and prepare for what's coming. And a lot of them didn't even go to the class. You're stressing your preacher out. I tell my brother Malachi, I said, open up a Roth IRA, put money in it. He said, why? I said, because I don't want you to get old and me have to worry about you. It's self-serving. I mean, I don't care if he's hungry. I just don't want to worry about him. So if I have Alzheimer's, it's okay. Right? And you think about that, and it's not very wise. And you know what they tell me? They say, take no thought for the morrow. Listen, that doesn't mean don't prepare. It means don't worry about it. And you know how I don't worry about it? I prepare. Listen, stop eating your money. Because it takes a long time to get ready. Proverbs chapter 6, look what it says. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, in verse 6. Consider thy ways and be wise. Have you ever done that? If you're lazy and you're a sluggard, which I am, okay? And I read that, and go to the ant, thou sluggard. I'm like, well, that sounds pretty easy. I can just go watch ants. You just sit there. I can do that. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. So I pulled up a chair one time, and that got uncomfortable, so I laid down watching these ants. And you know what I noticed about ants? They never sit still. They're always going. They're always preparing. They're always bringing stuff back to their nest, seeds and all kinds of different things. And they're taking it down there and they're storing it. And they never stop. They just keep working and working and working and working. They don't take a break. OSHA never comes by and says they need a 15-minute break. They work through lunch and they keep working. I get tired watching them. They just work so much. They keep going. And it says this, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. They don't even have somebody telling them to do it. Provider meat in the summer. It's natural. It's an instinct God put in them. And I don't know, but I think he put that in you too. And I think sin is what clouds it. I think that's a natural thing to be like a squirrel and store up things for the winter and to be like an ant. And he said, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, arise out of thy sleep? You know what the problem is a lot of people are too lazy to think about it. It takes too much thought and it stresses them out. And they don't want to do that to themselves and don't want to worry about the future. So they don't even consider it and they don't even think about it. So your poverty is going to come as one that traveleth. Habitation challenged. And thy one is an armed man. You've never seen a thief that has enough money. You know what they say? Well, I was raised different. You know, nobody told me these things. You're privileged. You've been told these things. No, I wasn't. God told me these things. They've been told to me in the Bible, right? The ant is teaching you. God's put all these examples in nature to teach you to prepare for the future and prepare for what's coming. And I don't understand it. But you know what's worse? Look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. What's worse than not preparing physically is not preparing spiritually. The Bible says this, and this concept, this idea of what the ant's done has helped so many young people grow into good Christians. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Listen, your days of your youth is summertime for you. While the evil days come not. My brother Urijah, he's always trying to get me to go skiing. I said, find a kid to go with. The evil days are here for me. My most exciting thing in my life is my couch. I don't want to go skiing. Who would want to do that? Go to Six Flags. I want to go to Six Couches. The evil days come not. When the years draw nigh, that'll say, I have no pleasure in them. One day, the old man talked to David and he said, I don't even enjoy singing anymore. One day, music isn't going to sound good. One day, the preacher's going to get up and preach and you're going to be like, what an idiot. He doesn't have anything good to say. Why do I have to go listen to him? You see the old people in the supermarket that are just angry about everything. That's going to be me and you one day. And we can get away with it then. I can't wait. I can't get away with yelling at people now, but one day I'll be able to, and I can't wait. But he said, while you're young, use that energy to prepare for the Lord. Remember the Creator. Memorize verses that will sustain you in the winter of old life. Learn how to witness to people. Learn how to serve the Lord. Then when you get old and cantankerous, it's a learned habit that you learned and you gave God the best years of your life. Or the years of your life that you thought were your best because you were young and dumb. And when you got older, you realized you gave God the worst years of your life. Childhood, youth, and beauty are both vain. And what does people, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, I'm young, I can do it. No. Young and dumb rhyme. Or you can make them rhyme. You have to learn from the ants that winter's coming. How simple, compared to these insects, are men, rational creatures who suffer the thoughts of eternity to be pushed out of their minds by 70 years. Did it ever occur to you you're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you're going to be alive? Right? Now you're going to be in the ground a whole lot longer than you're going to be on this earth. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to prepare for it. And you know what? The Lord taught this principle. He said in Revelation 16:15, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. He said in Revelation 3:18, talking to the church of Laodicea, he said, I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. It passes through the judgment seat of Christ. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. He said, white linen is the righteousness of saints. He said, do something for God so you're not walking around in heaven and in the millennium in your underwear. You know, I think it'll be really funny. There's going to be a lot of independent Baptists that make sure that the sun never sees their legs and they're all prim and proper and never wear shorts. I heard a preacher one time that says, I'm a preacher. Every time I leave, I have a suit and tie on. When I went to the beach, I wore a suit and tie. I'm like, you are an idiot. And then he's going to go up there and be naked because he didn't do nothing for the Lord. That's going to be quite of a contrast. And those are the people that are going to be naked too. You know what you need to do? Eternity's coming. Do you have any gold, silver, and precious stone laid up in heaven? You know, the Bible says this, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Then it says this, and their works do follow them. Now think about this. When you die, you can't take anything with you. But you can send it ahead. You can lay up treasure in heaven. And you can have it come after you. I imagine it goes like this. So Paul's walking along one day, and the Lord says, hey, Paul, the mail come in and you got a dividend check. He said, what are you talking about? He said, some guy was reading Ephesians and he got it figured out, started doing something for the Lord, and you wrote it here. His works do follow him. Now, isn't that a blessing? You can send it ahead and it can keep coming after. If you prepare for eternity. Why don't you prepare for eternity? Ants, they leave a pheromone trail for other ants to find the food. No physical preparation, no spiritual preparation. God is not a fan of unintentional living. He came to prepare a people, and He went to prepare a place, and He wants you to prepare to go to meet that person and go to that place. Your whole life should be preparation for eternity. You need to learn from the ant. They're a prepared people. Let me ask you this. Are you preparing for retirement? Are you headed in the right direction? Or are you just consuming everything along the way? Do you put more in your belly than you do in your retirement account? And even in a greater sense than that, way more important than that, are you prepared for the Lord's return? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? The Bible is not a fan of unintentional living. If you were to die today, would He say to the ant, like He would to the ant, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or are you wasting your summer? Say, how do I prepare? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look what He says here, 30 and verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk. Yet they make their houses in the rocks. Don't you like how the Bible here, He calls them the ants are a people and the coney are a feeble folk? You know, when I was a kid, I used to read all these Burr Rabbit and all these conversations animals had. That's not that far off. They're a feeble folk. They're a folk. And they have no way to protect themselves. This is a coney right here, if you can see. They call them hyraxes. They live in the Middle East and in Africa. And this is the scariest thing they can do. They can't. They're like a cat without claws. They have no claws. They can't burrow. They can't dig. They're not fighters. They're defenseless animals. They have padded feet. They don't have claws like most animals that are that size. They're feeble, but they're wise. Their only defense is their wisdom. And because of that, they know their weakness. They know they're feeble. They know they can't fight. Because of that, they make their house in the rocks. They're afraid of dogs and leopards and pythons, and they're wise because they know their weakness, and they go into the rocks where the foxes can't get them. They go into the rocks where the eagles can't get them and man can't get them. They hide in the rock. David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." He pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He said, "Their rock is Christ, the rock. He's the rock. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell will no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He said this, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. A wise person hides in the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We have no way to defend ourselves against the devil unless we go to the rock. There's a hell. There's a devil. He's like a lion. There's a flesh and there's a world. And they're our enemies. And the only way that you can defend yourself, the only protection you can have is the rock. What are you leaning on? You know, these conies, one of the worst predators they have is the eagle. And the reason the eagle is the worst predator is because he hides in the light. He comes when the sun is beaming and he flies in the sunbeams. So they can't look up and look into the sun. So they'll be there and they won't think anything is wrong. So they'll get away from the rock because they can't see the predator because he hides in the light. And you know what the devil does? He hides in the light. He tries to make you think that what you should not have is good. What is not safe is safe. He hides in the good. Good for food. Desire to make one wise. Take it and you'll be as gods. The original sin wasn't to go down, it was to go up, to be like gods. Right? Hide in the light. And that's the only way he can get you away from the rock. The only protection you have is staying in the rock. You know, the devil's your enemy. You can't see him. You can't feel him. You can't smell him. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive of him at his will. Why? Because they've gotten into some things and some sins. They've gotten away from the rock, and when they get away from the rock, the devil has permission to get them. And you know how he gets them? He doesn't walk up and say he's the devil. He hides in the light and he gets you because you're away from the rock. The coney are a feeble folk, but they make their house among the rock. You know, some of you have gotten away from the rock. You've gotten away from the rock because of things you have thought that were good. Are you closer to the rock or further to the rock? You know what the coney do when they wake up in the morning? And you can read about this. This is the first thing they do when they wake up in the morning is they go and spend a couple hours laying on the rock. Because they can't regulate their body temperature right. So they go and lay on the rock the first couple hours of daylight and they soak up the warmth from the sun and soak up the warmth that's from the sun reflecting off the rock. And you know what we ought to do every day when we wake up? We'll spend some time with the rock. Right? And soak up some of that strength and some of that warmth from the Lord. And it gives them enough energy to get food and enough energy to run and hide in the rock when trouble is coming. And the reason you get into trouble and the devil gets you during the day is because you don't spend any time with the rock. And you don't realize that you're feeble and you need it. There's a cities of refuge in the Old Testament. And the reason that people got killed is they wandered away from the city of refuge. And the avenger of blood could come get him. Eve wandered away from the protection. You know why the devil never got Job? Because he never gave into his temptation of getting away from the rock. You know, I think it's interesting that the devil left Eve there, and he could have killed anyone, and he killed his kids but left his wife. And you say, hey, aren't you trying to destroy Job? Why don't you kill his wife too? And the devil said, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And he left her there, and she said, why don't you curse God and die? But he never got God because he never got away from the rock. I made my house among the rock because I'm feeble and I need his protection. You know, I would be dead if it wouldn't be for the Lord and his salvation. And even if I was living, I wouldn't be a life that's worth living. And when I think back, and I invite you guys to think back to the time that you got saved. In the thoughts that were going through your head, do you realize how easy it would have been to miss salvation? Just a couple decisions, and then you would have got deceived and hardened and never came to the Lord. Man, it scares me to death to think how easy it would have been to miss salvation. I remember my son's here, my oldest son, and we got the house there, and we're laying in the room, and there's a window, and we're looking out in the trees, and he said something to this effect. He said, "Dad, it's a big old scary world out there." He said, "How do you go through life without getting lost?" And I said, "Well, son, Daddy can't keep you. Mama can't keep you. I can't shield you from the evil that's out there. And I can't always show you the way. But I said, when you get old enough and you can find the Lord and you hide in the Lord, He'll protect you from all the evil that's out there in that world." And at that time, I could sense the devil breathing down his neck. And I was so thankful that he hid himself in the rock. It made such a difference in his life. Even at the young age, he came in, repented, and came to the rock. You want wisdom? Number three, you need to be a partnered people. Look at verse 27. "The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands." How many of you have seen a grasshopper? How many of you got caught? You caught a grasshopper and you've gotten some grasshopper tobacco juice on you because they all dip, right? They spit that stuff all over you. And you know, a locust is just a grasshopper that's grown up a little. That's all they are. That's the same thing. That's the same family. That's the locust. And maybe you're not too scared of the locust because you've only seen a few grasshoppers, because one of them is just a weak insect and it can't do anything. You catch it and you go fishing with it. But they're wise. They band together. And when they get together, they can blot out the sun. They said there's some swarms of them. They call a swarm, it gets big enough, they call it a plague. And they said some of them are 40 miles across. In Ethiopia in 2013, they had all kinds of these plagues and swarms and billions of locusts. They killed 60% of the crop. Sorry, Madagascar. 60% of the crop. They eat hundreds of tons of food a day. They'll go and they'll eat everything green, everything edible. They'll strip the leaves off the trees. They'll eat all the rice, all the corn. They'll kill everything in their sight. The country of Madagascar had to get $42 million to fight these bugs. And how do they do that? They do it by working together. They don't even have a leader. It looks like they have been trained and all that stuff. And they, listen, they do it by doing it together. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. You know what young Christians don't understand? The need to band together with other Christians. Listen, you need a swarm. You need a plague. You need a church. It's not meant to be lived alone. God placed everyone in the body as it pleased Him. And you know what you need to do? You need to find a band and partner with them and pick up a blade of grass. Listen, you can't change the world alone, but you can if you join with other Christians. Moody said, "I would rather do the work of put 10 men to work than do the work of 10 men." One time Spurgeon was preaching and somebody came to visit and he said, "Hey, would you like to see the furnace that heats this place?" And they said, "What are you talking about? It's the middle of the summer." He said, "Come with me." And he went around back and he went to a basement that was under the pulpit where he preached. And there was 100 men on their faces crying out to God. And it's the prayers of those men that changed it. They partnered together. They banded together. The Bible says that the body of Christ, and He put us together. And a hand can do nothing if it's disconnected from the body. Pick up a blade of grass and let's do something together. There was a man that stopped going to church and the preacher went over to his house and he didn't say anything and he walked in and there's a fireplace and there's all kinds of coals there that are glowing. And the preacher reached into the fireplace and he grabbed a coal with the tongs and he set it on the hearth, and it was glowing and pulsing and hot. And just in a few seconds, it started to dim, and it died down, and you could never tell that it was on fire again. The preacher reached over and grabbed the coals with the tongs and put them back into the fire, and with a couple minutes, it was red hot and burning again. And you know what it is? You need to band together with other Christians. You need it. We need it. God placed them in the body as it sees fit. That's the way He designed the Christian life to be lived. And if you're not living that way, you're going contrary to design. I heard a preacher preach one time and he said, "Who wants the head without the body?" Can you imagine that? Just marry someone, "I just want your head placed there. And you don't want the rest of the body." It's a partnered people. You must learn of the locust to stay together. And then, last thing I'm going to say is there also you need to learn in verse 28 about the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now, instead of screaming and running from a spider, you need to learn from the spider. The spider puts webs up. She works with what she has. And she is an opportunist. She puts a web up. And she catches whatever food flies by. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16, "A man's gift maketh room before him, and he shall stand before kings and not before mean men." And you know what the spider does? The spider takes hold of the opportunities and makes something out of them. Right? I learned a long time ago that no two men are given the same ability or the same opportunity. But where you are judged and held accountable to God is where ability and opportunity meet. I know friends that have had multitudes more of skill than I have when it comes to preaching. And they have smaller churches. And if they were here, this church would be much larger, and they pastor small churches. Why? Maybe it's in a small place. Maybe it's a town of 300 people and there's just not that many people there. But you know what we have at Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church? We have an incredible opportunity. We have a building that's paid for that can seat a lot of people. We can add pews. We can fill up the balcony. We can put 400 or 500 more people in here. We have a central location. And we are in a town that has a tight metropolitan area, not even including New Braunfels or Burnie, but a tight metropolitan area, 2.5 million people, and there is not a strong, strong independent Baptist church here like us, the way we believe. What an opportunity. No competition. Wide open. And you know what it is? It's an opportunity. And you know what we need to do like the spider is we need to say, God gave us an opportunity and we're going to do something with it. God gave us neighbors that we can lead to the Lord. He gave us, you could be discipled. You can learn your Bible. You can witness to people. You can come to church. You can come back tonight and hear Pastor Ashton preach. You can come to Sunday school and hear Brother Phil preach. Right? Listen, there's a great, great, wide open opportunity. But the problem is people don't see it, they don't take the opportunity, and they just complain. Opportunity. Opportunity to learn. Opportunity to grow. And if you take hold of that opportunity, you know what you'll find one day? You'll find yourself in the palace of a king. And if you were standing there you'd be looking at the king and you'd be like, there's a spider here. That something doesn't belong. I have a friend, or at least an acquaintance, and his name is Pastor, and he retired now, but his name was Pastor Nathan Bemis, right? And Pastor Bemis, he said in his testimony that he was the only man that was driving a car to middle school. And the teacher finally told him, look, you're 22 years old, you're not even in high school yet, school was not your thing, you just need to give up. And he went down to Bible school, and Dr. Ruckman took the Bible and taught him how to read. And he went back up to Montana, and he built a church. And in that church, I had somebody come here visiting, and I said, what are you doing in town? And he's like, I'm a doctor, and I'm in town because of a medical convention here. And he's like, yeah, there's a bunch of doctors that go to church, and politicians that go to the church, and things like that. And you're like, how, what? Right? What did he do? Like the spider, he took hold of the opportunity that God gave him, and his gift made room for him, and he stood before kings and not before mean men. Take a hold of the opportunity you've been given and do something for the glory of God, and you'll be amazed at where the Lord takes you. Let me ask you this. Are you wise? God showed you four things that are exceeding wise. And wisdom is, once again, knowing what God says and applying it to our lives so it changes our direction. And you know what the ant showed us? It showed us to prepare for what is ahead. Let me ask you this. In your summer, how are you preparing for what's ahead? How are you preparing for the day that you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you preparing for, in a physical sense, the time that you can't work any longer when you get older? How are you preparing you, yourself, those you influence around you, for what lies ahead? You know what the coney shows us? By his wisdom and understanding, he was feeble. And so he protected himself from his enemies and from the storms by hiding in the rock. Where do you go? And what do you turn to when things are difficult? Where do you hide? Are you saved? Are you born again hiding in the rock that is Christ? The locust showed us by his wisdom and partnering together and working together and fighting together, they became the great church of the locust. Who will you band together with and swarm with? Who are you banding together with? You trying to make it on your own? The spider showed us by his wisdom and prospecting to take hold of opportunities that was given, and that put him next to the king. How are you using your opportunities to get next to the king? Because that's what we want. We want to be next to the king, right? How are you using your opportunities to get next to the king? Which one of these animals do you need to learn from today? And what was it about them that you need to pick up? The Lord gave them. Ask now the beasts and they'll teach you. What animal do you need to take a lesson from today? What bug? What insect? And how can it change your life going forward, picking up the Lord's wisdom? Let's stand for prayer.